Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGBM Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgbm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. This week, I have a classic Desert Oracle Radio episode for you. This one runs for a whole hour, with maybe a bit of a break at the bottom hour, if I can fit it in. I should mention that the phone number Ken gives during the show was not working when I tried it recently, but who knows? You could give it a try and see what happens. Anyway, from September 21st, 2019, here is Angels Among Us.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Well, night has fallen on the desert, and we are here in Joshua Tree, right where we belong. The tourists are starting to come back, and the hobo riders are being shuffled out of the off-season Airbnbs where they've been living, where we've been living. An end of summer ritual. Now listen, get out your notepad or your text editor or whatever, or Sharpie, and write this down. It's our studio line. Are you ready? All right, it's 760-366-8471. That's 760-366-8471. We are going to take your calls in the second half of the hour, and we want you to be prepared. It's like the poison control center number, 911. Keep it handy, but use it responsibly, or the man will come and take away your cell phone. And then what are you going to do? Now, sometimes you'll hear somebody describing someone else as angelic or an angel. Oh, she's an angel. Oh, he's just a little angel. And first of all, no, it's almost certainly wrong. And sometimes people will even name their children Angel. It's like a kind of name insurance. And it's a funny thing, because if you ever watch TV, there are always a lot of people named Angel in prison. It's almost like it doesn't work. Look at Los Angeles. That did not work. Of all the things you can accurately say about Los Angeles, describing it as the heavenly realm of the Queen of the Angels is just incorrect. In fact, they just put out a song about this with Lana Del Rey and the other one, Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter, the one who climbs up in Joshua trees like some kind of panda who doesn't have any sense. They made a song about this, and they said, "Don't call me Angel. Don't do it." Because it's one of those things people say to try to make the other person feel like they are automatically lower in the pecking order. Unless it's an actual angel. And then you're probably not going to say angel to somebody you have a lot of respect for. Probably not. The meanings of words are constantly changing. It's like calling somebody son or honey. An accurate use of the name Angel was the Buffy the Vampire Slayer spinoff called Angel, about a character named Angelus, I believe. And surprise, he was a vampire who killed everybody. But now he was sorry. Something happened. I don't remember what. It was one of the last TV shows I remember watching, roughly around time it was broadcast during this century. His name was Angel, but he got turned into a demon, and then he did something so horrible that it was even considered bad for demons. And he got made into a guilty vampire, and then I guess he was sort of an avenging angel in the Old Testament sense. People in our culture don't usually think of angels as avenging angels, waging great wars in the heavens with the armies of the super gods. You might have 150,000 legions of this one angel's imperial forces versus whatever equally impressive number of this other group doing whatever they do, war in the heavens. It's rough up there. Supporting the military angel industrial state. You have to keep that economy kicking along. Not enough people buying the new iPhone. People cutting down on their orange juice. You have to kickstart the economy with a lot of wars and a lot of aerospace technology, like the stuff they test out at Area 51. These days, most people think of angels as special friends or invisible helpers there to assist you when you get in trouble. Like when you call the operator at AAA or on the space satellite if your car gets stuck. So if you call out to the heavens, saying, "Come on, angel, give us a hand. Help us meet our soulmate. Say, "Listen, don't call me Angel, bozo, first of all. Second of all, what do you need? I'm on my way, at your command, occasionally within reason. As everybody knows, as Leonard Cohen said, that your guardian angel might not be able to save you from a number of important life events, as they call them on Facebook, such as death. From being poor or not having enough health care. And while we are having better luck at having longer lives, there is no guarantee from anyone regarding death itself. It is coming for all of us eventually, and it's better just to keep it in mind. It keeps you from freaking out about this stuff when it happens. It works for everything, really. You kind of know stuff is coming. Hopefully you won't stress out about it. There's just something there in the distance, and it's better to know about it. Now, I probably should not have mentioned ever watching anything on TV, even if it was years ago. Sometimes people will be, "See this on TV," and pretty much I say, "No, I'm sorry, I missed that one." And if they press me, because people do get offended if you did not watch what they watched on TV, I'll sort of sheepishly say, "I don't have a TV right now, and I don't really have a permanent residence at the moment, and I guess I'm trying not to hurt anyone's feelings." Trying to avoid somebody from across the party saying something like, "Listen to that jackass over there bragging about not watching the TV." Because that happens. People are very touchy about watching television in 2019. They don't want you mentioning that people used to do more things not so long ago, when the TV was sort of a last resort. Against the TV, please don't let that, of all things, prompt you to call or write. I don't mind if you watch the TV. Maybe it's okay for other people to be okay with somebody who just doesn't happen to watch a lot of it. Nobody jumps down your throat for being a vegetarian anymore. Not even for being a vegan. Nobody gets too upset if you don't listen to the electronic dance music they episode is going to be about angels. And I want to tell you a short true story that my grandmother in New Orleans told me when I was very little. And she scared the bejesus out of me with this story. She was a member of a large family. They were Cajuns. They lived out in the Bayou country. They were orphans. It is like something out of a Great Depression novel. And so you had a couple of teenagers who acted as the parents, and then a bunch of little kids. I believe there were 9 of them in all, and they lived in this old farmhouse out on the bayou. And one night, as they were getting ready to wrap up their day and go to bed, because the only light they had consisted of kerosene lanterns and candles, they saw a kind of brilliant white light shine from above onto the barn, and then it lit up the top, a kind of loft. Do they call it loft? I bet they don't call it a loft. A renovated barn would be a loft. It's where they kept the hay for the horses. And this shaft of light from above lit it up, and it lit up this window facing them, and they saw a figure. And the figure, according to my Mahdi, rest in peace, looked like an angel. And it had, like, the look of wings behind it. Watched it in abject terror for hours. No one thought to get the rifle and go out and make sure, because they believed it was something supernatural. And it was there, and even though it scared them very much, the next morning they decided that it was a positive thing and that they were going to make it, because they had just lost their mother. And they had lost their much older father several years previous. So, being my grandmother, who was a little weird with the stories, she dragged it all out until we thought it was going to be some horrific monster that burst out and, you know, slaughtered the slow ones, the younger ones. But no, they woke up in the morning that we're going to make it, and they did. By themselves. If you've ever heard that old country song, about how Louisiana people had to do this and that to get by, skinning animals, fishing, taking the nutriafurs down to Lake Charles, that was their life. So this episode is going to be about angels, whatever they are, wherever they come from, and whatever level of reality they exist within, whether ours, theirs, something in between. I was reading this biography by Israel Regardi about the notorious occultist, Aleister Crowley. It's called The Eye and the Triangle. And I was surprised to learn how much effort Crowley put into the guardian angel idea. The idea of communication with some sort of spirit entity that had an interest in you, in particular. And that surprised me very much, because I guess I haven't read a lot of Crowley's own writing. I get bored with all the mumbo-jumbo. Anyway, you know the Joshua Tree Retreat Center is officially known as the Institute for Mental Physics, is that correct? Our guest in the studio tonight is the director, the executive director of the Joshua Tree Retreat Center. And and the co-host with her husband, the silkscreen artist Rolo Castillo, some of the most interesting social spaces and events and rituals that I've ever experienced over my many years in the high desert. I'm talking about Terry Taylor Castillo, who also happens to be the best-selling author of about a dozen best-selling books on the subject of angel consciousness. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back with Terry Taylor Castillo on Desert Oracle Radio. We are back on Desert Oracle Radio on KCDZ 107.7 FM in the high desert. Thanks for joining us tonight. We are going to welcome to the studio our guest, who we know as Terry Taylor Castillo. And if you look in a bookstore that has books on spiritualism and New Age topics, you're going to come across a lot of books by Terry Lynn Taylor. Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Hi.
You're the first guest we've had in the studio.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It's something we've been trying to figure out how to do for a while. And we're still trying to figure out how to do it.
I love experiments.
It's an experiment. So I started reading one of your books, which is The Messengers of Light. What's the full title of that one?
Messengers of Light, The Angel's Guide to Spiritual Growth.
Yeah.
It was my first book I wrote.
And then you did kind of a wrap-up that involves that one and some others?
Yeah. The last one I did was Messengers of Love, Light, and Grace.
And you started writing these in the 1980s, is that correct?
Yes. I started keeping a journal on kind of my spiritual growth when I was in college. And I went to school in Norfolk, Virginia, at Old Dominion. So I was near the Edgar Cayce Library. So during the winter, I'd go in there and study, and no one would be in there, but there'd be these amazing books. And there would actually be some psych journals, too. So I thought, you know, I'm going to really get serious about my spiritual path now. And, you know, I'm going to do everything, meditate, and quit eating meat. You know, all the things that I thought would involve a spiritual path. And I realized one day when I was meditating, I had set up a little room to meditate with an altar and all that, that I wasn't really enjoying life very much on my spiritual path, and, you know, needed to figure out if I should even continue this whole thing, you know. So I was reading and I came across the saying, angels can fly because they take themselves lightly.
Is this the old Scottish
thing? Yes. And I think in the book I was reading, it was G.K. Chesterton. It was attributed to him, or maybe it was in one of his books. And that was actually what I wanted to title this book, but the publishers thought it was too long. But the point of it is, that saying made me realize I was taking everything so seriously. And the key was lighten up. And then the other part of that was, okay, angels. Now, I know they can save me from a car accident, you know, because I've had experiences and all that, but what are they doing now? Like, what is my guardian angel thinking right now? Could they help me along the spiritual path? So I just started to start writing in my journal about angels, anything I remembered about it. I'd start asking people, do you believe in angels? And I would never really get a no. Some people go, well, I don't know if I want to call it an angel, but I've had experiences that would definitely I couldn't explain, you know. So I thought, this is good. And then I start to go to every bookstore that I would normally go to, looking for a book that would kind of take angels out of the religious realm and be more accessible. Like, what's really going on here? So I never found that book. I'd find things really New Age, maybe, but very obscure. And then I was saying to a friend of mine, you know, I never can find the book I want on angels. Maybe I should just write one. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I don't know if I'm serious. But then I thought, you know, I've got this journal full of all these little things I've been doing with angels, like writing letters and sealing them, you know, to my guardian angel. Then I'd read that if you're in a confrontation with someone, or like say you have a person that you want to get past some stuff, that you ask your guardian angel to talk to their guardian angel, and next time you meet, for the guardian angels to communicate to each other while you're communicating with the person for more, you know, a little more insight into how to get past the issues.
So what do you think we're talking about when we're talking about an angel? I mean, is it an energy source? Is it an entity?
Yeah.
Is it some sort of communication?
It's all of the above, I think. That's why I refer to it as angel consciousness. I feel like it's a consciousness, an energy that we have, you know, to tap into. And I think it's kind of our creative source of new ideas, breakthroughs, reminders. So, like, if you're just getting too upset over something, just wait a minute, you know, calm down, you know. Little voices say, no, this is an illusion, or, you know, that kind of thing. So
is it like a wisdom that we don't have, or we don't believe we have all the way ourselves, that informs what we do?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's definitely an intelligence and a wisdom. But I feel like we're part of that, you know. It's not separate from us, but sometimes we separate ourselves from that. And I think with meditation, with anything that takes you outside of yourself, you know, a mind is a terrible thing, really, and get into your just being, then you access that.
So you wrote this first book mostly so that such a book would exist, because you couldn't find one.
Right. And I wasn't, you know, it was an interesting way it happened. I was living in Malibu, and a friend of mine was writing for a magazine called LA Style, and she did the character section. So she had met me, and she thought, oh, you're writing a book on angels. Can I do a story on you? You know, because it would be kind of campy and all that. So that was kind of fun. And then I had an agent who, you know, he wasn't really a book agent, but he sort of was. That's another long story. But then I was also around.
It's a very Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Description
so,
of a person.
But I actually had a friend who was a book editor, and he was editing a friend of mine's book. And he said, he asked if he could see my proposal. And I said, oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's ready. He goes, well, can I just see what you're doing? And I said, all right. He said, hey, I like this. And I'm going to show it to the publisher he was working for was Jeremy Tarcher. And so that was pretty big. Jeremy Tarcher published The Aquarian Conspiracy, and that kind of started a whole wave of, I think before that he was publishing cookbooks. So he said, wow, this is pretty cool, but I don't think I should publish it, because I don't want to be, if it gets popular, I don't want to be known as the angel book publisher.
Oh, wouldn't want to be successful in publishing, that's always.
So, but he said a friend of his had retired from the publishing business and had a lot of success, but he was only taking, and he wanted to still be in the game, so he was taking, you know, New Age books.
And Terry, the coyotes are howling. We got to take a short break.
Okay.
Give me just a minute, and we'll be back. We're talking to Terry Taylor Castillo, and we're talking about angel consciousness and That's a good conversation. If you want to call in, you can. Our number is 760-366-8471. I'll repeat that again in a minute. And just hang on there, and we will be right back with more Desert Oracle Radio.
For you to call Desert Oracle Radio. The studio line is open. 760-366-8471. That's 760-366-8471.
That's right. We got the robot all fixed up. It was having a hard time remembering the phone number. We took it down to Morongo Valley and got it an oil bath. It's like a sound bath, but with oil. We are in the studio with Terry Taylor Castillo, author of Messengers of Light and many other best-selling books on angel consciousness. Terry, I've known you a couple of years. And it was only recently, I believe when we got into the absinthe, that you revealed this important aspect of your life.
Yeah.
And I was just immediately fascinated.
It is sort of like another life, you know. I mean, it was really basically all through the 90s that this was my life, and then it kind of slowed down.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, 95.9 FM, and streaming on KGVM.org. Now let's get back to Angels Among Us.
But you had, I found, I believe, 4 still in print through HarperCollins. So these, they're in Spanish,
right?
And I'm sure many other languages. So these struck a chord
with
people.
Fun. Yeah, and when this book was first published, I hadn't even seen a copy of it, and I got a letter from someone because it had arrived at a bookstore, and she wrote this whole thing about the angels in her life and this, and she was so happy about my book. I went, wow, you know, and then I was flooded with letters. They were amazing. I thought, this is something's going on. And then the book sold out within 2 weeks.
Wow.
They didn't do a huge first run or anything, but so there was obviously something going on. And about maybe 2 years into it, it became a trend, and that was getting a little uncomfortable for me because I was like, I didn't do this to start angel stores with, you know what I mean? It like,
but it was the right time. You were in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, and then people really wanted only to hear about amazing angel stories, and yeah, I said, you know, those are important, but I really want people to get the consciousness mm-hmm. and get a lifestyle where they feel connected to angels, not wanting to be wowed by like this magical thing that happens. I don't know.
So one thing I liked in the introduction to the reprint is you talk about how the smaller things, especially the funny things, the humorous parts mm-hmm. of having this sense of another consciousness being aware of what you're doing and what you're up to is one of the kind of daily delightful things about it. And it sounded very right. Buddhist to me, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's humor. It's from, I think Jung said the only divine quality of a human is their sense of humor. And I really believe that. I think if we, again, take ourselves out of this taking things too serious, overthinking, and have a good laugh at how really crazy human life is, you know, and put it in a different perspective, it really always works for me.
Well, let's see who we've got on the line here, and we'll take a call. And let's hope my angel is watching over the phone board here. Welcome, you're on the air. This is Desert Oracle Radio.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Do you have your radio on?
Yeah.
Can you turn that down, please, sir? Thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you. Welcome to the program. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I was wondering, how did you feel about negative angels?
Ooh, negative angels.
That always seems to come up, and I don't think there are negative angels. I think there's experiences that we interpret as negative, and if we think something outside ourselves is doing it to us, then we may say, oh, and negative angels after me, but I don't...
So we can only kind of attribute positive experiences to angels, but only
no,
that,
I
but
don't
anything
think
else negative?
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of negative or positive. It's a matter of our life and our growth. And, you know, tragedies definitely are hard to get through, but if we come out on the other side, there might be a really amazing thing that comes to us after that.
Since, like, the story of Job, right?
The what?
The story of Job.
The story of Job.
Yeah, in a way.
In the Old Testament.
Right.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
That wasn't the...
He went through the river, but he came out better.
Yeah.
But he did, yes, seem to gain something from it, I guess. He lost a lot.
A lot.
It's kind of like going through the recession.
His entire family through an angel.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Old Testament angels were certainly robust characters.
Of course, right. To reckon with.
Sir, have you had any experiences that you would describe or maybe consider to be evidence of having some sort of angelic consciousness or encounter?
I would say, well, like she described, like no matter what, an angel is going to be looking out for you no matter anything. So I feel my entire life, yeah. I feel getting a job today or getting a car wreck 2 months ago, either way, going to be Jaws and Angel.
Well, I'm glad you're around to be able to get on the phone after having a car wreck 2 months ago. It's, you know, it's a tough thing to kind of wrap your head around, because obviously there's not an angel there for a lot of people when their car crashes, when they have an illness, when whatever happens. So then the thing that I wanted to ask you about, Terry, is we all go through life cycles, and they have beginnings and ends. So what do you think the role of this kind of angel consciousness is in getting us to be able to go through those life cycles maybe in a wiser way?
Well, I was sort of stuck on that. What you were saying is some people don't. Okay, well, backing up to the car accidents, and if you don't make it through one and everything. And I think then again, we're judging that death is a punishment, and we don't know that. And, you know, and I'm not a physicist, so I can't explain it, but I sometimes have moments where I feel like everything is in this moment, everything. The people who've passed on are here, the people that are yet to come are, you know, all of it is happening at once. So to look at when the angels aren't there to save us, that's just maybe part of the grand design, or I don't know. But back to your question, can you be a little more specific with that? Like,
I guess what I'm getting at is there are times when it certainly feels like there's somebody watching out for you. And there are times when, like in Wings of Desire.
Ah, okay.
They're watching, but they're watching in sorrow as you go through cycles
some
of life that are not going to work out in the way that the angel smiles and pats you on the back and says, go get them.
Right. I think if you tap into all of this, when you do go through a tough time, it's a time. It's going to pass. And if you just hang on, you know, or just even if you start a project, like if you keep going with it, it's going to work. You know, it's going to, you're going to finish it. And even when people give up on certain, like they want to be an artist, say, because it's an easy one, and then they're like, no, I got to give this up, it's just not working, then you've stopped the, you know, the process there. And a lot of times you've got to stick with all of the ups and downs and the good times, the bad times, you know, and see where it goes. And I think it's sometimes we feel really connected. Other times we just don't. And I think that's normal. And if we start getting too hung up on the times when things aren't working, it's, you know, you got to get some distance. You got to back off. And I think that's what's great about a spiritual path, because you fill it with what you want. But there's certain things that work. And it's taking yourself out of, through meditation or just slowing down or centering yourself, taking a walk, reading a spiritual book. All of these things can really take you to a much more peaceful space with perspective.
Now, do you think the disappointment that might come with some of these pursuits is because we have maybe a cliched or predetermined view of what we think the end result is, and we're disappointed when it doesn't end in that way?
I think we're expecting something. The other thing, too, I know, and I was guilty of this, too, because I was pretty young when I was writing these books, is I thought, well, if I just ask the angels for these things, it's going to happen. But honestly, I look back and I'm so happy some of these things didn't happen because I wouldn't have wanted them.
Like,
you know what I mean? I don't even know what they are right now. But, you know, things you just are like, okay, I really feel that I can have this. And, you know, and then it's like, it doesn't happen, but you look back and you're like, well, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I think having the expectations is probably where we get disappointed. Having goals and knowing that things might change, or you might have to adjust your goals or adjust the way you look at your goals, you know, be a little more flexible with that and then may not be as disappointed. But given that, the world is full of a lot of humans and of a lot of situations that we have to work with, too. We can't control so much of it, you know, but we can create a world for ourselves where we feel comfortable, I think.
So asking your guardian angel for the lotto numbers is unrealistic, right?
Probably. And I sometimes angels are a little bit bratty and trickstery, you know. That if you're asking for stuff like that, they might create a funny lesson for you.
So is this kind of like the genie stories?
I don't know. I think anytime you think that there's a magic answer, then, you know, you're going to probably be disappointed. Or one thing that's going to solve all your problems.
You wrote your last of the new angel books, what, about the late 90s? Is that correct? Early 2000s?
I think the last one I wrote was 2005.
And
that was the compilation of a lot of the books and ideas I put together.
And at that point, did you feel like you'd said what had to be said?
You know, I wasn't sure. I really felt that I was kind of disappointed that the angel thing became a trend, and as with every trend, people get disinterested. You know, mm-hmm. Like it's like, oh yeah, I was into angels. I'm over that. I'm into crystals now,
right.
Or I'm
yoga.
Into this or that. Yeah, but I think angels go with us on all of our interests and pursuits. It's a consciousness, and it makes us better at life. I think it helps us be better humans. And I, you know, that's what I would like to encourage. Well, here's a little story. The Oprah producer called me and was going to do a show on angels. And said, you know, well, we want you to come on and talk about all those great angel stories. Because I did a book of angel letters that I'd gotten that were amazing. And I said, well, you know, I'm kind of tired of doing that because I'd rather talk about how angels can help us individually in life without creating, you know, these miraculous situations. That's wonderful if that happens, but... And we had a long talk, and she goes, wow, I really love this. She goes, but I don't, you know, I don't think they'll want that on the show because they want, like, the
fireworks, right?
Yeah, like...
jackpots.
Yeah, and that's what... And I said, no, I get it. I said, but, you know, I'm kind of at the end of that. I did a couple TV things where I did talk about some of that, but... So I just said, you know, no. And I realized I'm kind of at that point where I'll just let the trend do its thing. And then, you know, and then people kind of stopped reading too at a certain point.
If you're listening out there, let this be a reminder from your better angels to do some reading now and then.
Right.
Pick up a book. You know, it's a nice thing to read something, and you don't get any notifications in a book.
That's right.
You can just read for a little bit. And books on these topics, even though fads come and go, the books often have very, very long lives. I can think of a couple. You know, there was the one that story about Job was in. That book is still around. And then the Old Testament. And then there are all kinds of spiritualist books from the turn of the last century that completely fell out of print, almost disappeared, and then suddenly, starting in about 1968, 69, mm-hmm. all these new publishers showed up
right.
and brought all
and
this stuff back in.
It, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then you have the Wicca books that originally came out in the 50s, fell out of favor, and now they're all over again in Los Angeles, in the crystal shops. And
yep.
And I mean, we have crystal shops right here in Joshua Tree if you're shopping for crystals.
At the retreat center, we've got some great ones in the bookstore.
Yeah. And in fact, with where the Desert Oracles used to be, I don't know if they're, I think they moved over by the register, but there was this beautiful display, glass display case. And every time I brought books in, all my books were all lit up from the different
display.
Beautiful colors from the crystals. Do you still get letters?
You know, I've changed my address a couple times, so I know.
So someone in one of your old houses is probably getting all these fantastic stories.
Well, I usually had mailbox, you know, like a P.O. box or something. But I've had some people occasionally will find me on Facebook and, you know, write, hey, what's up? Or, you know, are you still doing angel talks and that kind of thing?
Those are my angels, the coyotes. You've been listening to Desert Oracle Radio. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. If you want to call in, 760-366-8471. We have time maybe for one more call on Desert Oracle Radio. Listening to Desert Oracle Radio live from KCDZ in Joshua Tree, California. We have been talking tonight with Terry Taylor Castillo, also known as Terry Lynn Taylor, author of best-selling books on angel consciousness. Many still in print. I got mine from Amazon. I should have come to the Retreat Center bookstore. Anything exciting going on at the Retreat Center coming up? I know you just had your big open house.
Right, and that went really well. Just haven't planned anything other than we've got a lot of good yoga classes going on now, a great meditation class, two breathwork classes that a reverend of mental physics teaches, and what else? Yeah. So if you go on our website, you can hook into all that. And
which is, what's the website?
It's jtrcc.org.
jtrcc.org.
Yeah, two C's.
Very good. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, this was great.
And you've been listening to Desert Oracle Radio. I'm your host, Ken Lane, and the sounds you hear around us tonight are composed and performed by our very own Red, Blue, Black, Silver here in Joshua Tree, custom made for your entertainment to set the mood for a Mojave night. Listen on October 5, that's Saturday, a few weekends from tonight, Desert Oracle Radio will be presenting a special edition of Campfire Stories at Amboy Crater in Mojave Trails National Monument. Campfire Stories with me, your host, Ken Lane, followed by a star party with telescopes and astronomy. Figure out what that constellation is, finally. The one that looks like a bear with a Instant Pot on its head. 5 p.m. Saturday. It's just about an hour north of 29 Palms and Joshua Tree. It is free on your public lands in Mojave Trails National Monument, Amboy Crater. Now, if you go to our website, desertoracle.com, click events, find out about our secret performance coming up on October 18 in Joshua Tree. I said the wrong date last week, and the architect, Dave McAdam, was not pleased. He thought I was running a secret show besides the one he knew about. No, there's only that one. It's on the 18th, Friday. You can message us on Instagram or Twitter or email. Or you can stop me at the saloon or whatever. I'll tell you about it. I just can't say it on the radio. And on Halloween night, Thursday, October 31st, it's going to be Campfire Stories at the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs, 7 p.m. Free, open to all. Scary stories under the stars outside around a campfire right there in Palm Springs. We're going to continue that on Thursdays, including the day after Christmas and the day after New Year's. Now, the Area 51 thing is happening out there. And it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it, so I wish them well. Good luck. I'm in the middle of trying to buy a house and move, and It just wasn't the time to go break the aliens out of Area 51. Sorry, buddies. Our friend Jeremy Corbell is all wrapped up in this business. We hope it goes well. Do wear sunscreen, Jeremy, and drink plenty of fluids. Beer is a fluid, but some water, too, would be a good idea out there under the sun for all these many days. Now, you know, a couple of Dutch YouTubers got arrested before the event even started. And in the early hours of this morning, when a crowd, a very small crowd, but a crowd nonetheless, gathered at one of the Area 51 back gates, one gentleman was arrested for public urination. So I guess when there are about 1,000 federal cops standing around, you don't want to do anything that might get their attention. They're all kind of on hair triggers. See what any of this has to do with the UFO phenomenon, which is quite real. There was some strange news this week For about the sixth or seventh time in the last couple of years, the Pentagon and or the U.S. Navy acknowledged the unidentified aspect of the unidentified aerial phenomena. These things that have been plaguing Navy pilots off the coast of San Diego and off the coast of Virginia. They used to call them Foo Fighters in World War II. That's a lot better name than UAP. Second live show. In 6 or 7 weeks or months or years, we're going to have this all under control. It's going to be like making coffee in the morning, which I still can't do very well, but is there a coffee angel? There's a coffee angel. From Amboy to Zyzix and across the Great Mojave Wilderness, this has been Desert Oracle Radio, and I am your host, Ken Lane. We broadcast from KCDZ in Joshua Tree and on fine community radio stations on the West Coast through PRX, Public Radio Exchange. Soundscapes on tonight's program by Joshua Tree's own Red, Blue, Black, Silver, who is our own Giorgio Moroder. You get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. I don't know who the guest is next week, but we're going to figure out who the guest will be, and we're going to have them here. Maybe it's you. Lots of good people joining us in the weeks ahead, including our friends, the author Eric Davis, the author Anna Merlin, the music critic, writer, and record store man, Jason P. Woodbury from Phoenix, Arizona. He's going to be bringing his new feature, the Woodbury Files, to our program, and it's going to be all about weird things regarding musical artists. Jason wrote the liner notes to an upcoming re-release of a album by Jim Sullivan, who I don't even want to tell you what happened to Jim Sullivan. It's too weird. He's going to tell you. Thank you for listening. Good night from the Voice of the Desert.
My thanks to Ken Lane for his work on Desert Oracle Radio and to the good folks at KGVM who support and make space for this show. Thank you, Gallatin Valley, and everyone for listening. And remember, I would still love to hear your travel, UFO, or ghost stories. So call and leave me a message or text about anything on your mind. The number is 406-404-6246, and it works. You can hear this program broadcast on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. I'll be back next week with more desert and mountain lore for you. Till then, stay well and sweet dreams, and keep doing good things. I'll see you next week.